Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 181. Tonight's show is brought to you by Sink Soup is Gross.
Are we revisiting Sink Soup tonight?
You know, I sit down, I open up my notes function on the Mac, and I decide what the show is going to be called pretty willy-nilly. So there we go. That's what you get.
Are you going to explain that, or...
We went to dinner with some friends, and one of them is a nurse, and she was telling us all this gross fecal-related stuff.
And mostly about very constipated old people and the size of the things they can pass.
And then I was like, you know, y'all can talk about this, but Andrea thinks that sink soup, you know, the leftovers in the strainer after you wash dishes, is gross. And everybody else was like, that is so disgusting.
They were both instantly grossed out. We'd just been talking about poop at the dinner table.
And that got
in a medical setting. And yeah, when Matt said sink soup, they were both instantaneously like, ooh, that's so gross.
Well, like, so. I'm in agreeance there, actually. I will have a food disposal always.
Yeah, we have a septic tank. So those are, yeah. I mean, you can do it, but sure. It just makes it where you have to empty your tank more often.
I put everything through there.
Oh, yeah.
I'll put like whole steaks and potatoes and.
Do you
bones
would you use it
chains.
To chop your food, like pull the pipe off the bottom and like, you know, toss your
you could. I wouldn't recommend that.
I'm out of ground beef, but I have this steak, and then toss a steak in there and let it fall out the bottom.
That is gross. I'm just in agreeance that sink soup is gross. The stuff in the strainer is gross.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, to me, that's up there with like seeing a compound fracture in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty close. All right. Matt, do you want to go since you were talking before we went on to garbage disposals?
I got my Levo and started riding it. Haven't talked about that yet, correct?
You said you were getting one, I think. But
I mean,
not...
there's like no chance that there's not snow where you are, right?
The fuck, there is snow.
There's fucking no snow anywhere below 8,000 feet right now.
That's bizarro. Yeah. It's like been snowy here in Salt Lake. It's real shitty.
We might get a little bit tonight. I'm checking the weather right now.
Yeah, maybe you're getting our sloppy seconds.
Must have picked that up on Thursday last week. We normally record on Wednesdays, and I didn't have it by the time we recorded. So, brought that home.
Yeah, tell us about that thing. I assume you sold all your other bikes?
I'm getting there. I have a bunch of bikes. Anyone, if I own a bike and you think you want to buy it, just reach out to me because I will happily sell it. The Levo's not mine to sell. It's a demo bike from the shop. It's mine for the year. Stump jumper I need. Everything else is for sale. So.
Tell us about the Levo.
It's black and it's pretty heavy. And
is it aluminum or carbon?
It's aluminum.
Ooh.
Yeah, Matt and I are both rocking the aluminum e-bikes.
What trim level is it?
Comp, I think. So it's got GX.
Cool.
Only real things I'm going to change are I don't have really good luck with stock wheels on bikes. You know, it's just got like a 3-paw hub. And
I can see you blowing the ass end out of that bare paws hub.
Yeah, so my goal is I'm going to put a set of reserve alloy 350 hubs on it. So
some of those new degs?
I don't know if it's going to be deg or not. I hope it's not.
Some of those reserves come with degs now, I think.
I know.
Probably talked about that on a show, actually.
And the 350 deg is Roval reserve exclusive to begin.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that is what I've got going on. It's pretty straightforward. It's just heavy. I want regular 350s because I've been riding those Chris King wheels on the stump jumper, and I want to try something with lower engagement and just really try it. So the deg isn't really the direction I want to go.
Sure.
But with that said, only things I really plan to change are, and again, like full transparency, it's a demo bike, and when I turn it in, it needs to be very presentable. So in my mind, it makes the most sense to get that wheel set on order and put the tires that I want on there. And
yeah, if you just take the wheels, like wheels and tires off and just set them aside, they're going to be minty. You slap those things back on with some new grips, the thing's going to look brand new.
Well, and I'm going to change the grips and the bar because I want a different bar and I want different grips. So, yeah, the bike should look pretty clean when it's ready to sell, which is, you know, going to be polite to the shop as well as make the bike something I can really enjoy while I'm riding it. And I already did a couple of rides on it. It's about 17 miles each way for me to get to work. And, yeah, it's a mountain bike, but it's also got a motor. And I rode it to work 2 days in a row. I rode it on Saturday and Sunday last week, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty chilly here. It was in the 20s when I started, but you know, it's a Specialized, and we have a ton of Specialized bikes at the shop, so I can put it in full turbo and rip the, you know, roughly hour to work. And then when I get to work, I can throw it on the charger and rip it home in turbo again, and it takes me an hour to get home. So I've got about 70-ish miles on it now, maybe 70, 75. And
how much? What was the battery life? I think you said it was 50% on the way to work.
Yeah, I use about 50% each direction.
Okay.
So,
because like on the way to work, you ride downhill like 3 miles, but then the rest of the trip is basically uphill into a headwind.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's the opposite. On the way home, you're like spun out with a tailwind going downhill, but then you have a 3 mile climb at the end.
Yeah, I wasn't really spun out much. I mean, it's pretty hard to pedal that over 20 off pavement. So there wasn't many times that I was pedaling through the motor to, you know, mid 20s or anything on the way home. I'm just able to pedal pretty gently and run at, you know, 19.6 or 7 miles an hour. And it's pretty cool. Other cool thing that I haven't gotten to ride yet, but did arrive. I need to install it in the morning and go ride tomorrow, assuming it mystery snow doesn't hit us overnight. But
yeah, the radar shows that it's snowing right now.
Well, we're just going to see what it looks like when I wake up in the morning. I mean, it's that time of year here, but I got my 165 XO transmission power meter crank in.
Fancy.
So I talked to some people in the past, and running a 55 chain line on standard non-transmission isn't problematic if it's a longer chainstay bike, which mine is. And I'm going to run that on the Stump Jumper and try short cranks. I know you can go back in the archives and 175s. That's fine. I'm going to try something. And if it doesn't work, I'll sell those cranks. And if it does work, I'll sell my other cranks. I don't want to say like I don't care that in the past I've said I'm always going to ride 175s. Rather, I went somewhere really rocky with 175s and I had at least 297 pedal strikes a day for 3 days in a row. And I came home, and I'm going to try to fix that with American currency. So, there you go. And I think, really, that's all I have going on. And in all seriousness, I am going to... I'm kind of getting to this point in my life where I didn't ride very much last year. And I know that I'm going to ride more this year, but I bought a lot of bikes over the last couple of years, and like, I'm just not going to use my fat bike. I don't need two steel single speeds. I don't need my single speed Crave. I don't need, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just...
You should keep the Epic, though. The Epic Evo.
Yeah, no. I have a plan for the Epic Evo. That'll be last, meaning I'm going to try to get some of my other stuff sold. And what I would like to do is get a Epic 8 and do the part switcheroo, you know, keep the nicest stuff like my transmission SL group, my bird wheels, my NV bar, yada yada, and then build my Epic Evo 7 up with the other stuff and sell that. You know, I might spend a tiny bit of money doing that, but I can get a little bit different geo and 10 more mils of rear travel with dual lockout and be pretty stoked. So, and yes, I didn't stutter. I don't want the Epic Evo 8. I want the Epic 8. So I think short travel bike should have a lockout on the bar.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's reasonable.
Well, and what's really cool is the only difference between the 7 and the 8, or the Evo and the non, is the non-Evo doesn't have a lockout. Or sorry, the Evo. Fuck, let me just start over. I'm stupid. The regular Epic comes with a dual lockout. So, you know, open trail climb or some shit like that, like three position. And if I ever want to put a 130 Pike on there, then I would essentially have an Epic Evo with just a rear lockout. You know, I could buy a standard non-lockout Pike and be able to leave the front open all the time, but still lock the rear on the fly, which is what I really wished my bike would have always done. So there you go.
All right, Kenny, what about you?
What did I do? I rode my fat bike for the first time this year. I've been kind of lazy getting it out. There's been plenty of snow up in the main place where I ride, but just, yeah, I just didn't really have the motivation or there was other crap going on. But yeah, finally got out. I think I rode on Sunday and did a little fat bike ride in American Fork Canyon. And it was fun. The bike was good. I have that steel Arctotis fat bike with 5-point-something-inch tires on it. 5.25, maybe?
You still have those terrible tires on there.
They're pretty terrible, but I own them. And yeah, I run 2 PSI. I probably need to run maybe less, but I run 2 PSI. It was very, very deep snow. There's been a lot of snow coming down almost every day up there, but it was fun. I mean, I did kind of my usual little loop up there and had a good time. And the old e-bike has performed really well. I think I've had it for, is this my third season on it now?
I think it might be your third season.
Yeah. I think it's my third season, which is wild to think about. And granted, I haven't put like any kind of crazy miles on it at all. It probably has a total combined like maybe 200 miles on it, but probably less than that. Because you don't go very far fat biking because it's really freaking hard.
Yeah.
But it just kind of, I just throw some DeWalt batteries in that old sack and it just runs. It's great.
Do you have to battery swap during your ride?
No.
Okay.
No, it's about, it's probably 300 to 350 watt hours. So like a pretty small battery in the grand scheme of things. It's two batteries that are tied together. And so it's not much capacity really, but again, I usually do a sub 10 mile loop because it still takes, you know, a 10 mile loop out there would take an hour and a half because it's fat biking, even on an e-fat bike. So yeah, it's been fine. I usually end the ride with 25 to 50% battery and yeah, that's all I've been doing.
All right. Well, I'll keep mine short because it's the same kind of stuff. I went and got my MRI. I went to the doctor. They looked at it. The doctor said everything looks a little worse than your last MRI in 2023. The next joint up in my... So my problem is between C5 and C6 in my neck. And now the one above it, the C4, C5, that one is at the point where if I did have surgery, they would go ahead and fuse that joint as well. But he also said that he's not sure if surgery would fix my problem since my cortisone injection didn't work. And then was like, well, here, I'll bring in Dr. B, who is like, you know, he's like the final boss of doctors at this office. So like you see the nurse, then you see the guy I've been seeing. And then like, you know, if you're really having a problem, you get to like the end stage where you see the big doctor. And he said the same thing pretty much. He's like, you know, even if you have other problems, like nothing, no amount of physical therapy or anything is going to fix this. And he pointed at my MRI picture. And then they both like looked at me and are like, so do you want to go ahead and schedule surgery? I'm like, I can't make this decision right now sitting in a doctor's office being really stressed out. So I'll have to get back to you. But that's where I am right now because there was enough doubt in the doctor's voice about, I don't know if surgery will make you feel better, that I don't feel good about scheduling surgery. So might try another injection, might try some EMG testing where they look at nerve conductivity to see if there's anything blocking it somewhere outside of your spine. And yeah, that's where we are right now. But other than that, I've been just getting outdoors whenever I can. And I caught my 5th fox the other day. So that's cool. There's one that has shown up on my game camera every night for the last week and just doesn't go in the trap. So I put some different bait. I put tuna fish in there for tonight. And if that doesn't work, then that fox is just smart. And just I'm going to move my trap someplace else where there are dumber foxes than that one. But do you guys want to... We have like one listener question. I haven't looked on Slack to see if we have some patron... I think there was like one or two patron questions on there. Do you guys want to do that or do you want to do new shit?
Let's do new shit.
All right.
specialized new DH bike was spotted. It's got two chains.
Two connected or two different?
There's
separate.
A drive chain and it's hard to see in here, but there's two chains. There's two chains. Yeah.
That's pretty weird.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Kenny, do you have thoughts on bikes with multiple chains?
For a DH bike, I don't think it's ever going to work on a trail bike or an XC bike. There's just going to be way too much drag, no matter what you do. But on a DH bike, I suppose it could be reasonable. It seems like what they're trying to do here is, I assume what they're achieving is a high pivot in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, who knows, maybe there's some type of gearbox situation in there as well for kind of like going back to a Hammerschmidt or something. I don't know. I would kind of doubt it, but maybe.
I don't know.
Have you guys seen
the ground clearance does look pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, how much does it sag?
Well, yeah, you'd probably scrape your actual bottom bracket on the ground when you're bottomed out, but that's better. I mean, that sits higher than a chainring.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, have you guys seen the new Silka sealant and what they're doing for marketing?
Oh, they're going real hard.
They're going hard on this marketing. So if you remember, jump in your Wayback Machine, I think it was, how long ago did they release that two-part sealant?
Don't know, don't care.
I don't remember.
So they had a sealant that you put it in your tire and then it had like a refresher. It was like extra juice to put back in your tire periodically to refresh the sealant. That wasn't full sealant. It was just some extra, I don't know, sauce to go in there to make it not dry out. And they said this one, it's not necessary. You don't have to do that anymore. So if you're a bike shop with the old sealant and refresher on your shelf, you can just go ahead and light those $20 bills on fire that you paid for that. But this one, so if one of their sponsored racers racing the Lifetime Grand Prix Series gets a flat that does not seal, they will give them a $500 bonus, which I feel like would be a good, if I was one of those racers and I was having a bad day, which happens. I mean, even the most fit, you know, podium level racers, sometimes you just, you know, something's just off and you're having a bad day. You're not going to be in the money. Then I would just pull off into a bush and like cut the ever loving shit open in my tire and be like, oh, it didn't seal. Give me the money.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd want to sponsor you again next year, but you know.
Yeah, probably not. I think that's probably not good for vendor relations.
Yeah. Well, a rock did it.
Also, if you're riding Silka, you're probably... Yeah, I'm just going to quit being mean.
You're not feeling saucy tonight?
No, I mean, I would love to see one of those checks and them be cashed.
Yeah, it said they rewrote their rider contracts to include that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that contract.
True.
Because it says they seal holes 6mm plus. So does that mean that if you have an 8mm hole, they're not liable because the sealant wasn't supposed to work? Does that mean if you have two holes where their total value exceeds 6mm, they're out? Like, I don't know.
But this one is injectable. The previous version was not injectable. This one is. So, yeah, another sealant out on the market.
There you go. We want to do let's just knock these out real quick. Trek has a recall on some e-bikes because they have bad fenders and... Bad fender is bad. And then...
What do the fenders do? Do they fall off?
Some of the bolts didn't have Loctite in them, and it can pose a riding hazard. And then apparently Super 73 is recalling bikes with a brake issue. They have 1,400 models or 1,400 bikes to recall. They're going to give you a repair kit plus $50 to get it repaired at your local bike shop. So.
There have been 21 reports of loose retaining pins and or related brake failures, resulting in one minor injury.
Got another recall.
Ooh, what you got?
BMC.
Oh, what did they recall?
They're recalling their, I can't pronounce it, K-A-I-U-S, Caius. It's like a gravel bike. But yeah, the fork snap.
Mm.
Yeah, not good.
That's suboptimal.
It is suboptimal. Yeah, we've got a few injuries at the shop. To my knowledge, no injuries. But, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Wait, but you have to perform an inspection. What are you inspecting?
It's pretty weird. I went through it this morning because we are a BMC dealer. And some of the stuff is written pretty well and pretty thoroughly, but other stuff just kind of didn't make sense. Because they want you to do all this inspection and this and that, but it's just, when you get down to it, my understanding is the fork is either affected or it's not. As in, like, it's the updated one and has, like, essentially an updated serial number on it and you ignore it. Or it's affected and they want to replace it. So I don't really get it. Why inspect it? Just weird. And you would think that they could just give you a serial number range or I don't know. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but regardless, I mean, they're hopefully doing the right thing and they're getting those old forks off and new forks on. I definitely have questions about paint matching and some other stuff. I'm sure we'll get that figured out. And I could have not read some fine print here and there, but it was like a 20 page long thing. And yeah. So anyway, that's it on the BMC one. So if you have a BMC Caius, you need to probably get a new fork put on it.
Or get it inspected. Do we want to pay our wolf tooth tax?
Sure.
They are replacing their previous purple color of anodization with what they call ultraviolet purple.
The best is this headline that says, standard purple fades away.
Ultraviolet purple, guaranteed not to fade in ultraviolet light, right? Is that true?
So it's just, is it pre-faded?
It's actually a really nice color. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and it's a great color purple. We talked about messy, anodized stuff, and yeah, I mean, it's a really nice color, but like we said, if you are someplace with intense UV light and your bike is out in the sun 3 or 4 days a week in that intense UV light, then that stuff will not stay that color for the life of that part.
I will say that is a good looking purple. In general, I didn't look at it until just now. In general, I like the little bit darker purples. And this one is... it's good looking.
Yeah, I like it.
What the old one look like? Do you think the old one is, for me, on headsets on the homepage? They show a purple headset. I wonder if that's the old purple.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking for it right now. Oh, I don't know. That looks like a really dark purple also.
I think they already updated it.
Maybe.
That image.
Yeah, could be. All right.
Yeah, maybe just slightly different light that those were taken in.
Yeah, probably. You guys have more stuff?
I just found this SRAM motive brake being seen on new XC bikes at World Cup races.
Yep.
Is that going to replace?
And also SRAM seat post with the old parole collar on it. House arrest collar.
That's right. House arrest collar. That's a good way to put it.
I put my hands on a Fox Neo. We sold one to a customer doing a really cool frame up build. And first impressions are, it was really nice. I don't trust it yet. But from the actuation, I don't mind the lever. It's got like some rubber on the paddle. And it was super fast to activate and all that stuff. The house arrest collar looks weird for sure. But I'm sure it's probably the better. I assume it's the better long-term solution.
That's something.
All right. Is that all of our new shit?
Sure.
I'm browsing. I'm not seeing a whole lot. It's still pretty slow.
Yeah, it'll speed up here in a couple months.
Two quickies. Atherton releases a new downhill bike, and Ari, the bike brand previously known as Fazari, is opening a satellite location in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I guess that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be consumer direct, but they also want to be not consumer direct.
I mean, I'm sure the Waltons gave them that real estate for free, basically. So
no, the other way to look at it, though, Kenny, is they didn't open a bike shop in Bentonville. They opened a showroom in Bentonville. So they are consumer direct. They just want customers that are on vacation with their wallets open to be able to buy a new bike and walk away with it.
I guess. But I don't know. That sounds like, not that you can't have experience centers and this and that, but I also roll my eyes whenever somebody says experience center these days, because it just seems like absolute bullshit and a waste of money. And sure enough, like a few years down the road, they go, yeah, that was really stupid. We employed a bunch of people and it was expensive real estate and we didn't actually sell anything out of there.
What bike company was that doing that in Golden, and are they still doing it?
I don't know, Specialized does it.
No, there was like a, fuck. It was like you go and get your custom bike.
Yeah, if you'd stop talking, I could think of it.
He's having to like Google weird shit. It was like you go in and you can like sit down and have charcuterie and wine and pick up your custom bike or some shit.
Alchemy,
that was it. Okay. I wonder if they're still doing the experience with that. Oh man, you can get an Arctos for $2,500 off. I don't see anything about it on their website. All right, we should move on. Can we do listener questions? All right. We've got one on Patron Slack. And if you join our Patreon, you can join our Patron Slack and talk to every other patron on there. Well, not all of them. Not everyone's on Patron Slack, but a lot of people are. So this is from Jake. Jake says, since Andrea is a welder now, how long until we see JRA custom cycles? I need a well-priced and well-made hardtail to keep at my parents' house in PA.
I think you just need to buy a Specialized chisel.
I don't think that, I mean, I can find enough like steel pipe around to weld together something that's bike-shaped. It would be well-priced. I cannot guarantee it would be well-made. I can't guarantee it would be under 50 pounds or that... I would definitely have you sign a waiver saying that when...
Oh, it's like an old... it wasn't Carver. It was the guy's last name. Lemire Cycles Carbon Fork. You got to sign a waiver to buy it.
I don't know.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't. But yeah, yeah. Like you would definitely have to sign a waiver before you took it off of the property. Saying
the
that
the head tube angle, broke. The head tube angle will be eyeballed. It will be somewhere between... 60 and 70 degrees.
It will be an angle.
Yeah, it will definitely be at an angle, and whether or not it stays at the same angle while you're riding, I can't guarantee that.
I've been wanting to do something like this, and I think this is the impetus that I need.
What, Jake's question?
Mm-hmm.
What, are you going to like try to build a bike?
It's tough. Yes and no. I really want to build a scooter that uses full-size bike wheels and has like a whole skateboard deck for the like standing surface and disc brake.
We've had a couple of those in the shop. They're actually pretty fun to scoot around on.
I think I could probably handle that.
They was really, really sketchy. It was one super duper long round tube of aluminum, like ultra thick. It was like the, if you remember the old Cannondale Super V's, how big all that tubing was. It was like that in one giant huge arc that went over the front wheel since it was massive. And it rode real smooth, but if you just kind of like pushed up and down on it as you were riding, the whole thing just flexed. It was really scary.
Dude, it's got that compliance. Don't be scared.
Yeah, it had some compliance. The problem is you're going to get to a point where it has 100% compliance, which is not what you want.
Yeah, my handmade bike would definitely have 100% compliance at some point. All right. We had one listener who emailed us on our web contact form. Let me find the proper... page. Here we go. This is from Justin. Justin says, I recently rediscovered you guys and I can't figure out why I ever left. All the Moda, Beta Gang, and hunting content is great. I have severe analysis paralysis with bike shopping. I haven't had full suspension since 26-inch wheels. Last year, I purchased a new Jamis Dragon 29 to hold myself over and exercise the dogs. It descends terribly, even at moderate angles, and is dangerous to jump. I added an assegai in the front and went tubeless. Would a stiffer wheel set help? It came with a generic Stans wheel set, not listed on their website. I'm 6'2", 215 pounds, and bought the XL. I think it's too long. In regard to full suspension, I have only been able to demo a Bronson and had no complaints. I haven't been able to find a stump jumper or any pivot bikes to demo in large, extra large. I would like a bike that corners well and is fairly easy to get off the ground. I would like to be able to make the most out of small features at still make it to work Monday speeds. My local riding area is Galbraith. Am I saying that right?
Galbraith Mountain in Bellingham, Washington.
Yeah, if that means anything. I would probably go to Whistler once a year for both park and cross-country type riding. Thanks for all you do. I will be enjoying the backlog in the meantime. Well, I'll start. If your bike experience has been 26-inch wheel full suspension and a Jameis Dragon, and then you liked, like, you rode a Bronson.
No, I mean,
and
that's actually kind of a big bitch.
And but then you rode the Bronson and you said, yeah, that's cool. Like, I don't think that the steering's weird, or, you know, you didn't have any complaints that a lot of people that would, you know, ride a 26-inch wheel bike and then go to like a longer travel, modern full suspension bike. Like, you know, some people are like, ah, it turns really slow, or the front wheel wants to lift a little bit if I don't weight it a lot uphill. Like, people do have some complaints about that. But if you liked the Bronson, any bike in that category will blow your dick off. Do you guys agree?
100%.
Yeah, I mean, you just pick one. Like, go to your bike, go to whichever bike shop in town that you like, that you're friends with, that are nice, that are helpful, that have good customer service, and buy a Bronson or whatever bike is comparable that those people have, and it's going to be a great bike.
My recommendation would be probably get something mullet if you want a bike that's a little bit more playful.
Yeah.
Sounds like he wants something that he can jib around on a little bit.
What wheels does the Bronson have on it now?
Mullet.
Okay. Yeah.
Santa Cruz only makes 29 and mullet. They don't do any full 27.5 bikes anymore.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if the Bronson was mullet or not.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
Bronson's always been little wheel on the back.
All right. Yeah, that's my advice, is just go to whatever shop you like and get the comparable bike or the Bronson, and it's going to be great, because new bikes are good, especially compared to the stuff you've ridden in the past. You guys got anything else?
No, I will say on the Slack, I did see, I don't remember which patron it was, but somebody made a like meat rice spoof video, and I apologize for not seeing that until now. Truly, just in general, I just have so much other stuff going on in my life that I don't sit down and look at social media anymore these days. I've just kind of like cut it out of my life. So just know that when I don't see your stuff, it's not out of spite. It's that I truly just don't get on there. But I do every once in a while. You will be special. Graced with my presence every once in a while.
Don't feel special. He didn't see anybody's shit.
Well, Matt doesn't go on there either. So I think you're on there more than Matt is. So I get on there as much as I can and, comment on people's stuff. But sometimes it gets pretty lit, and I'll go to Slack and it's like, you have 35 new notifications. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
But I will say there is good banter between patrons. So there's good, even though we might not be on there all the time, I do peruse it every once in a while, and there's good banter between our other patrons.
Yeah, definitely. They give some good advice too. And there's like places where you can talk about random shit, and you get Clayton's like rap video of the week sometimes. So yeah, it's definitely worth joining Patreon. Even at just $3, you can even join and edit your membership fee $1 a month just so you can get on Patron Slack. So, I mean, I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying that, you know, if you're like financially challenged, but you really want to talk to other patrons, you can do that. All right. Well, I think that's everything that we've got. It'll be a short show tonight.
That's okay.
All right. Well, I'm going to read patrons and we will call it a night. So starting at $10 per month, we've got Zozo. Wendy's nuggets taste like they came out of her ass. Weasels ripped my flesh. Tom P. Tom's P. Ty Lover. Ty. Tennessee Zach. Taylor Zwift. Taper Bore Pro. Skunk in your trap. Samuel Ryan. Ride time extended.
Pork chop sandwiches.
Noah. My pal Dal. MTV Shenanigans.
Mike Jones.
Leland. Josh. Josh. JC. Jared. Jake D. Green Giant. Gordon. Fuck Bike Rumors. Shitty website. Frank the Tank. Eric. Chris Cocalis's Super Boost sized butt plug. Captain Fickle. Cam Irish One. Bill. Bo broke Andrea's neck. Bearded Josh, Barrel of Dicks. At 11:12, we have Clayton. Thank you, Clayton. Anus, anus, balls, anus, balls. Andrea's Fox for Merkin Business. AJ, Aaron, underscore. At 11:11 per month, we have brought to you by Taking Gabapentin and Benadryl to see the Hat Man. At 14 Australian, we've got Patamelon Disco. 16:50 Australian, we've got Dean. And at $20 per month, we've got Scott, Poop Wrench, My Neck, My Back, Lick My Pussy, and My Crack. Joe, Harley at 30, Troy at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors. Put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it. At 50.
I would like to say, Taylor Swift, that one is, that's real. That's pretty classy. That's a good one.
That's
good. It's subtle. It's good. I mean, as funny as, you know, anus balls, anus balls, or whatever it is, the Taylor Swift one, that's good.
You gave Kenny a sensible chuckle.
There you go.
All right, everyone, thanks for sticking with us in these unprecedented times. Yeah,
that's it.
Thank you all for listening, and good night.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along show.
There's some shit coming out of your brake pads.